Right, good to have you here this morning as we get back to our homiletics lectures for week four. And if you could turn your notes, please, to page 53. Right, before we get into the notes, any blessings from your textbook readings for last week? Paul?
I marked that on page 69, a particular quote here that I thought was very relevant and really helps put things in perspective for me, at least. Our own definition of expository preaching is: expository preaching is the spirit-empowered explanation and proclamation of the text of God's word with due regard to the historical, contextual, grammatical, and doctrinal significance of the given passage, with a specific object of invoking a Christ-transforming response. Very well.
Excellent definition.
Just compounded everything into one statement, really, and put it in perspective.
Excellent. No, it's very, very good. Good definition there. Emmanuel, do you have something?
Yes, from anointed expository preaching, I read something about this generation that is more visually oriented, and because of that, the preachers are turning more to using visual aids and other things, which is more like we are only flowing with the current. We are not actually doing the right thing, the expository preaching that we should do, because we want to be the people's preachers. But my remark is that we have no TD Jesus. So if we got to preach the word, and we've got to preach the word, no matter what people think and no matter how the world is moving, we've got to stay with the Bible and stay with the preaching of the word of God.
Excellent. So yes, the proclamation, the verbal proclamation of the word of God is God's central method. Now, it doesn't mean that there's not a place in certain contexts for visual aids, like a Sunday school ministry or a teaching class. But when it comes back to, you look at God's primary method is that the word be heard. So as much as there's an overemphasis today on digital media, God's method is primarily to work through the ear gate. So even though people are used to being stimulated visually all the time, we should not move away from just the verbal declaration of the Word of God, because that's what the Spirit of God honours. So for me personally, I'm not a big fan of using PowerPoint while I preach. Now, I know some preachers do, and I'm not going to separate fellowship with them over it. But to me, it depends what you're aiming to do. If I'm going to teach a class, no problem, I might use a PowerPoint, because the objective is to impart information or to teach. But when it comes to pure preaching, I prefer just to give people the verbal declaration of the Word of God and trust the Holy Spirit to work through the ear gate. And what happens then is, as people hear the word of God, the Spirit of God can generate images in their own minds. You know what I mean? As the Spirit of God stirs them, they hopefully can see it in their own minds. And that's using a God-given faculty of imagination and working through the mind, as opposed to more just a passive taking in of visual imagery all the time. All right, good thoughts there. Let's have a word of prayer, shall we? And then we will get into our lesson. Dear Father, we thank you for your goodness to us this morning. And Lord, we do desire to be the best we can for you, Lord. We know that ultimately, when all the study's over and when all the skills have been analysed, Lord, we need your hand and your touch to be upon our lives. Otherwise, all of our study, all of our preparations will be wasted and be in vain. So Lord, we pray that we would not come out of this class puffed up in any form of pride, that we know a lot about preaching, But Lord, rather we'd be humbled as we go through these classes of what an awesome responsibility we have to be proclaimers of the eternal truth of your word. So Lord, help us to be faithful expositors, Lord, not to enforce our own ideas and thoughts onto your word, but Lord, rather to come to your word, find out what you have said, and then Lord, then declare that faithfully to the people, trusting you to move mightily in the hearts and lives of those who would hear. So Father, we look to you to bless our moments together. We pray for the Spirit of God to grant us wisdom and insight into this sacred craft of preaching, and that we would be better servants as a result of this class. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I just want to I'm memorising my way at the moment through the Gospel of Mark, and you just think about exposition. I came across this word expounded this morning in Mark chapter 4 and verse 33 and 34. It says, "And with many such parables spake he the word unto them as they were able to hear it." Verse 34, "But without a parable spake he not unto them, and when they were alone, he" what? "Expounded all things to his disciples." So the Lord expounded the word. There's a good example there of the Lord Jesus Christ expounding the word of God, explaining it, making it plain, making it clear to his disciples. So we want to follow in the Master's footsteps and learn to expound the scriptures. All right, so that brings us now to page 53 on the expository sermon. Now, last week we looked at the first two types of preaching, and these are the three main categories that we would normally divide preaching into. What was the first one we looked at?
Topical.
Okay, and in a nutshell, just give me a quick summary, Emmanuel, of what is a topical message?
A topical message is when a preacher takes a particular topic from the Word of God, and then he focuses his attention on it by using a verse as the starting point, and then using other verses to actually explain and cover all there is he wants to cover under particular topic.
Excellent. So you're taking a scriptural theme. You go to the Bible with a theme in mind that's a scriptural theme, like the deceitfulness of sin, or the love of God, or the blood of Christ, and you have a text that you use as a launching point or a starting point, and then from there you're going to draw your main points from a broad range of scriptures on that subject. Okay, second sermon type we looked at was textual, and Paul, what's in a nutshell a textual message?
Textual message is where you take one specific text, which mm-hmm. would have at least your main points.
Yes.
But then you might draw your sub-points from other verses that either further explain or support your main points.
Perfect, perfect explanation. Very, very good. So yes, your textual message, as opposed to an expository message, is usually just one text of scripture, or maybe two, or probably the most three. And then your main points will come out of that one text. And then, as you say, you will draw in your sub-points as required from other scriptures to further support or explain those main points. Expository, as we're going to look at today, is where, on the whole, you're confining your outline or the main elements of your outline, both main points and sub-points, from that one chapter, or section, I should say, of Scripture, one paragraph of Scripture. All right, so that brings us now to the expository sermon specifically, page 53. And the notes say here, expository preaching is the epitome of pastoral ministry. It truly is the ministry of the word in its fullest sense. Point A, defining an expository sermon. And you read out a good definition from the book there earlier, Paul. But here's a couple more definitions to help us. An expository sermon is one in which a more or less extended portion of Scripture is interpreted in relation to one theme or subject. Okay, so we're talking about an extended portion of Scripture as opposed to a single text, right? Now, depending on the material you're covering or the Scripture you're covering will largely determine how many verses you cover in an expository message. So if you're preaching through the doctrinal epistles, you may do an expositional message on three or four verses. If you're dealing with the life of Joseph or one of the Bible characters, you may do with a whole chapter in one message. It just depends. It depends a lot on what part of the Bible you're preaching from. Okay, so when I preached through the book of Colossians, I did, I think, 27 messages on four chapters, because I just wanted to break it down. There's so much rich doctrinal content in each verse, you don't want to necessarily overrush it. Now, again, you've got to strike a balance, because there are some that, you know, almost preach, you know, a whole sermon on every verse in a book, and it becomes, you know, they go so deep that you can kind of get swamped. So you want to just strike a good balance between moving people through a book, but at the same time giving enough consideration and emphasis to each section. Expository preaching is the communication of a biblical concept, back to the notes here, derived from and transmitted through a historical, grammatical, and literary study of a passage in its context, which the Holy Spirit first applies to the personality and experience of the preacher, then through the preacher applies to the hearers. Okay, so that's another good definition. It's the communication of a biblical concept derived from and transmitted through a historical, grammatical, and literary study of a passage in its context, which the Holy Spirit first applies to the personality and experience of the preacher, then through the preacher applies to the hearers. So we go to the Word of God, we study that section of Scripture, we seek to give consideration to the context and to understand it in context, we seek to understand the central theme in that paragraph or that section, we break it down, and then we allow it, and the Spirit of God ministers to us, applies it to our own personality and experience, and then through us then as his vessels to the hearers. All right, number one under A, expository sermons are based on a passage of Scripture. This passage may be an entire chapter, a paragraph, or a number of verses that yields a central point. That's the key thing to remember with an expository sermon, is it's not just giving a running commentary on each verse. We'll talk about that a little bit later. There's a style of preaching called a Bible reading, or almost a commentary style, where, and the old timers used to refer to it often as a Bible reading. And a Bible reading sermon is distinct from an expository sermon. A Bible reading sermon would be where you take a chapter, you read a verse, make some comments, read the next verse, make some comments. It's like just a verse by verse study and not necessarily giving a structured outline and adhering to a central theme. So an expository message is not just reading a verse and commenting on it. It's taking that section of Scripture, discerning what is the primary theme, the big idea or the central idea in the text. Okay, what's the primary message on the heart of the biblical writer here? What's the primary theme he's dealing with? And then looking at each part of that paragraph that all relates back to that theme. So if you could think about it this way in relation to your sermon notes, your title should express the theme that's found in that section of Scripture, okay? And then each of your main points ties back, is an enlargement on that theme as expressed in your title. And under each of those main points, your sub-points tie back to those main points. So it's just simply a fleshing out of the overall theme in your outline. So expository sermons are based on a passage of Scripture, a paragraph or a number of verses that yields a central point. So that's one of the key things about expository preaching, is learning to find and discern the central point. Now, you'll often find that maybe expressed in a phrase in the passage, or you might see there's a word that's reoccurring. And just as you read and meditate, you'll begin to discern, okay, here's the primary message of this section of Scripture. Okay? In some cases, the passage of Scripture may be one or two verses. That's, like I say, if you're preaching through a book verse by verse, then you may just preach expositionally through a couple of verses. But normally, you're looking at, you know, four, five, six, through to a dozen verses as a general rule of thumb. But again, it depends on what section of the Bible you're preaching on. Point two under A, expository sermons differ from textual sermons in the following ways. So here's the distinction. The textual sermon is based on a brief text, 1 to 3 verses. Main divisions are derived from the text, we've talked about that, and then subdivisions are taken from other supporting scriptures. Context is respected, but not necessarily germane. For example, a textual sermon on intercessory prayer taken from Isaiah 62, 6 through 7 could be preached without reference to the prophetic, or millennial context of the passage. All right, so you can draw a principle out. And it's not about presenting something that's unscriptural, because if you're going to study that text, you're going to present, study and preach the text, you're going to present scriptural truth. But your expository message is going to pay more attention to context, because you're trying to determine what is the overall theme here that's being dealt with, as opposed to just finding a verse somewhere on prayer, for example, and just preaching that message on prayer. It might be excellent, but it may not necessarily be studied within context. Okay. I like what you did in your latest outline and manual. You've got a textual sermon from one verse, but you've said in the beginning of your message you're going to read a larger section just so people can get a feel for the context. So even though you're not going to spend a huge amount of time on context, because that's your purpose in that message, is to get the gospel across clearly to the audience, but you're going to just at least get the verse in context before you preach it. So I thought that was wise. Main divisions are derived from the text. Subdivisions are taken from other supporting scriptures. So we've talked about that. Context is respected. Yeah, we've read that. Then the expository sermon is based on an extended passage, so it's generally more than two or three verses. There's no set rule. You will get to discern after a while how many verses you can realistically cover in a sermon. And again, it depends on how much content there is to cover in those verses. Main subdivisions are derived from the passage. So these are your main points, the one, two, Roman numeral 1, 2, 3, 4. Subdivisions, A, B, C, D, are also derived from the passage. So that's pure expository preaching. Your main points and your subpoints come out of that passage. Now, your subpoints of subpoints, you may have a supporting scripture or two, but all of your subpoints, all of your main subpoints, are going to also be out of the text. All right? Context is part of the exposition, so there's going to be a greater emphasis upon the context. Because the body of the expository sermon is drawn almost exclusively from the passage, there will usually be fewer references to other Bible passages than with a textual sermon. Okay, because your desire and your intent is to take that passage of scripture and unpackage it for the people, make it clear as possible, and explain it as it ties back into that theme that the Spirit of God laid upon the heart of the author. All right, some advantages, point B now, of an expository sermon. So we've looked at the defining an expository sermon. Now, advantages of an expository sermon. Number one, under that, it places a strong emphasis upon the Word of God. All right, places a strong emphasis upon the Word of God. It facilitates the preaching of the whole counsel of God. And so people get to see the Word of God is unfolded as the Spirit of God revealed it to the original writer. Particularly when you're going through an entire book, that's what I like about it. You can get the full impact that the Spirit of God intended as the theme unfolds in that book. So, for example, in the book of Colossians, there'd be nothing to stop me just jumping straight into the practical section in chapter 3 and preaching a message to husbands and wives on Mother's Day. Sure, that's fine. As a general rule, we tend to gravitate to the more practical sections of Scripture because we want to motivate people to live it out, to live for the Lord. But it's very important that we give people the doctrinal resources and the doctrinal basis for those practical exhortations. Now, if all you do is preach the practical sections of the Word of God and don't give enough emphasis to the doctrinal sections, then people are not going to have the basis and the foundation to actually live properly and obey those commands. So particularly with the Pauline epistles, he goes from doctrine to duty, position to practice. That's pretty well his format. Whether you look at Romans or Colossians, he lays down the doctrinal foundation. Then he gives you the challenges, the practical implications, the outworkings of those doctrines. So doctrine in the Bible is meant to lead to duty. It's not just intended to be an academic exercise where we fill our minds. It's supposed to be life-transforming and life-changing. So with Colossians, you remember that from your studies last year, the theme is the sufficiency of Christ. And so it's wonderful to be able to unfold that theme from beginning to end. So you see in chapter 1 and chapter 2, the basis of that sufficiency, it's in the person of Christ and what he's accomplished. Okay, and then in chapter 3 and chapter 4, now comes the living part, the the outworkings of that. But if I was just to jump in to chapter 3 and chapter 4 without giving any, without ever teaching on chapter 1 and chapter 2, people are not going to understand the resources they have in Christ in order to be able to obey those commands. So how can a husband truly love his wife? How can a wife truly submit to her husband? How can we as believers edify one another within the local church and have and practically obey those exhortations? Well, it's because we can do that through the sufficiency of Christ. Because Christ has filled us with his fullness, therefore, drawing on his sufficiency, I can live that way. So very, very important. That's where by preaching through a book, people can get the full impact of what the Spirit of God meant or what the Spirit of God intended with the central theme in that book. You generally find in each book of the Bible there's one central theme that brings a measure of cohesion to the whole. And then you're simply analysing the parts that all contribute back to that central theme. So in the book of Romans, the theme is the gospel of God or salvation. And it really deals with salvation in its... He deals with the salvation in its three main phases in the book of Romans. He deals with justification, he deals with sanctification, he deals with glorification, he deals with consecration, which is the practical outworkings of my salvation right now. But it all ties back to the overall theme of the doctrine of salvation. Okay, I would liken it almost to... If you could imagine taking a scenic flight over a parklands, okay, that if you could get in a plane or a helicopter and go for just a panoramic view over a section of parklands, okay, that would be the overall perspective. Then if you were to get out of the plane and then walk through and explore each of the sections of that parklands, that would be the more detailed aspect. So you've kind of got these two aspects with the book study. You need to understand the overall view, what's the overall thing, get the panorama. But then when you get down to the verse by verse, you're now analysing the individual parts as you go through. All right, so advantage of an expository sermon. It places a strong emphasis upon the Word of God. Number two, it enables the expositor to do the following. A, preach through the Bible or a book of the Bible. B, have considerable variety in subject and applications. And I gave you that quote from an older man of God who said to me some time ago, if you learn to preach expositionally, you will never run out of material. Mm. All right, you've got Genesis through Revelation. And if you can learn to preach the discipline of preaching verse by verse, book by book, you'll have an inexhaustible storehouse to draw on there. Now, we still need to be discerning. We don't want to be just mechanical. I'm just going to preach through this book because I'm just going to preach through this book. We need to be discerning as to what the Spirit of God wants for us at a particular time. So for myself at the moment, because we often have unsaved visitors on a Sunday morning, I asked the Lord, I prayed about a book that would lend itself well to both gospel preaching and something for the believers as well. So I'm trying to bring through pretty old double-barreled messages each Sunday morning, with a gospel emphasis, but at the same time, something for the believer. So we preach through Romans for a similar purpose, whereas we're doing, you know, other things like the pastoral epistles. We did those in the evening services, and now the book of Daniel in the evening service, because it's more, there are some challenges and exhortations along the way, but it's more geared towards the believers in the core group. So that's being sensitive to the Lord and praying about where the church is at and what's needed. So I normally ask the Lord to lay on my heart a book, as opposed to just maybe a theme. I say, Lord, what book would you like us to study now? And that doesn't mean that we don't take time out occasionally to deal with other things, which, you know. Right, so it enables the expositor to preach through the Bible, have considerable variety in subject and applications. And then point C, avoid allegations that he is selecting texts specifically to pick on his people or to get on a hobby horse. He will neither neglect nor overemphasize a particular subject or truth. Now, I've just written there, it will still happen. Okay? You will still be accused. It's amazing, actually, to me. You can be just preaching verse by verse, book by book through the Bible, and people will still accuse you of being on a hobby horse on certain issues or deliberately targeting someone in the congregation. But what expository preaching does, it makes it much harder to prove those sort of allegations. okay? Because you're going to say, now hang on a moment, we are preaching through this book of the Bible. Now, when I started preaching this book of the Bible 3 months ago, how could I possibly have known that on this particular Sunday, 3 months later, we would be covering this exact portion of Scripture that deals with the problem that you're struggling with? Do you see what I'm saying? And I have seen time and time again, I can think of one example that's flashing before my mind right now. I was preaching through the book of Titus, and we had, it was right around the time when we were having some doctrinal issues, some issues surrounding a particular doctrine, and I was dealing with Titus 2 and the older men needing to be sound in faith. And I gave a real challenge that night about older men needing to stand with the preacher on the statement of faith and not being flexible on the word of God. That's one of the exhortations to the older men, there to be sound in faith. Now, it so happened that a particular brother was there that night who took great offence to the sermon. In fact, someone even who was their family member got up, stormed out of this message, went flying through the double doors, and they got so worked up because they assumed that I was deliberately slamming them. Now, I had to explain to this brother later, I said, now, excuse me a moment. I said, I didn't even know you were going to be there that night. I had no way of knowing you were going to be there because this particular brother had been hit and miss for weeks. So I had no idea you were going to be there, firstly. I said, all of the those things were in my notes, prepared and prayed over by and laid on my heart by the Spirit of God before I even came. And I said, now, as I sat on the platform and I saw you walk through the door, the first thought that went through my mind is, this brother's going to think that this message is about me having a go at him. But the reality is, the Lord had already dealt with my heart about that message. That was simply where we were up to. Now, when someone gets really bent out of shape like that, the first thing that comes to my mind is, you are resisting the Holy Spirit. Because more often than not, when someone comes out and accuses the preacher of having a go at them, it's actually that the Spirit of God has taken the sword of the Spirit and driven it hard into an area of their lives. And rather than submitting to the Spirit of God and recognizing that God has ordained this message for me at this hour, they come out fighting against the preacher. More often than not, you will find that when someone accuses you of targeting them, pretty well, you can put it down. They're resisting the work of the Holy Spirit in that area. Now, given I have heard messages where preachers have preached in the flesh, that can happen. But again, on the whole, if the preacher's simply just being faithful to the text of Scripture, then then there really is no excuse. Our job as the listener, I had another brother ask me, you know, I preached a particularly strong message, and he was trying to sort of imply that I was possibly sort of, again, having a go at them or something, and trying to ask me whether, I said, look, I said, that message I preached was for every person in the congregation. I said, it is the job of each church member to hear the word of God and go away and think and pray about how that message, how the Spirit of God would apply that message to them. I said, it's not for me to say, yes, this is you. Well, I said, that's between you and the Lord. I did my job and declared the word of God. Now you have to answer that question before the Spirit of God. Okay? Because what people will try and do, and you need to learn this, people will try and if they can make it out to be a personal issue between them and you, then that clouds the whole issue and gets the focus away from the real problem, which is that they're not submitting to the word of God. And you'll find this time and time again in pastoral ministry, there will be an attempt made to make it a personal issue between me and the preacher. Okay, because you're an easy target. If people have got problems or they're not walking with the Lord or not submitting to the conviction of the Spirit of God in their lives, you're the easiest guy to blame. If they can focus the direction, now all of a sudden you as the preacher end up with you're the one with the problem somehow. Okay? And it's all about projecting the focus away from the rebellious Christian onto the preacher, all right? So avoid, but it will help avoid allegations, and it's amazing how the Spirit of God can sow time and a message just within a normal week-to-week series that it addresses a specific need. Having said that, as I've said before, if there is a specific problem that needs to be addressed, I do not see anywhere the philosophy that I hear from some, oh, you should never use the pulpit to deal with a problem in the church. Where does the Bible say? The Bible says in Titus 2, these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority, that no man despise thee. So God has given the preacher all authority to speak, exhort and rebuke from the word of God. Now, so long as we're taking the word of God, we need to make sure that we're using the scriptures and not rebuking from our own opinion. But we need to have a high view of the pulpit. When the preacher gets into the pulpit, so long as he is preaching and being faithful to the word of God, we need to be very, very careful before we accuse him of misusing the pulpit, because we could actually grieve the Holy Spirit. And that's the serious thing. And you cannot back down one iota from what the Spirit of God has laid on your heart for that message. Now, I like the way my dad put it. He said he had a man come up to him once after he preached a message and said, "Were you preaching at me this morning?" And he said, "Yes, I was preaching to you and to everybody else. Why should I come to you after the message and say, by the way, that wasn't for you? Why should I single you out because you've perhaps got a problem in that area and say, oh, by the way, that message wasn't for you? Of course it was for you, as well as everybody else." Okay. So we need to just get back to, you know, the preaching of the Word of God. Now, I understand that we as preachers, we do have to be careful when there are problems in the church, that we guard our hearts against venting or anger, fleshly anger. It can be very tempting at times to use the pulpit in that way. But if you're staying close to the Lord and you, by God's grace, you keep a pure motive as to why you're preaching and you're doing it in love, ultimately, for the people that are hearing it, then we should not hold back from the truth. Mm-hmm. And as I like what Pastor Charlie Haddad said to me, he rang me up one Monday morning. He listened to one of, I think it was my message on the Baptist Witch, and he said, keep preaching. He said, because with messages like that, people will either get right or get out. And in a sense, we don't want people to be able to sit long-term neutral to the Word of God. Now, our heart's desire is that everybody will get right. No preacher in his right mind wants to see anybody get out, okay? As much as they... People accuse preachers of all sorts of rubbish, that, you know, he's trying to get that person out of the church. Look, if the Lord has called you to be a shepherd and you truly have a shepherd's heart, no shepherd wants to see the sheep disappear, okay? That's just foolishness to allege such things. We hope that people get right. But if they're not going to get right, then in a sense it's better they get out and rather than holding up the work of God. Yeah. Okay. So we always desire and pray and work towards revival before removal. But when it's all said and done, if someone will not submit to the working of the Spirit of God and they have to be removed, then we have to just trust the Lord with that. But we let the Lord remove them. That's the thing. We don't just boot them out in the flesh. All right, number three, produces biblical preachers and church members. The Bible will be better understood in its entirety. The emphasis of an expository sermon is on the interpretation of a passage. The application will follow as the scripture is unfolded. And I've said before, this is why I love the expository method, or even the textual method, because you're grounding the whole message in the text of scripture. And then as you explain the text, as you expound the text, as you teach the text, you can then make application to that audience, that particular time, that particular place, the particular needs, as the Spirit of God directs you. So you're moving from exposition to application, from context to challenge, from teaching to duty. And so the expository message really combines, I think, really well, the two elements of both teaching and preaching. You're going to teach the text, you're going to define words, you're going to explain the context, you're going to expound the parts of each section of the text, and then as you're doing that, you're going to really hammer home the challenges and the applications that naturally spring out of that teaching and out of the text. It's also good, I would add too. It's also good because it teaches you the discipline of studying the challenging passages. So when you're preaching through the book of Romans, you get to Romans 9, which is a difficult passage. Romans 9, 10, 11 are difficult passages. That's just all there is to it. And the Calvinists love Romans chapter 9. That's their passage of all passages that they like to use. So when I came to Romans 9, I probably had to spend double the amount of normal sermon preparation time to get my mind and heart around that that passage. But what am I going to do? I can't just skip over it. We're doing a series through Romans. I'm not going to just skip over Romans 9. Now, if that means I have to take if I have to preach something else and study it for another week until I understand it well enough to preach it, so be it. But it teaches you the discipline of just, because naturally we are going to gravitate to the easier sections of the Word of God to preach. But we love easy preaching. Find a good verse or something that's, you know, exciting, and wham, run with it. And again, there's a place for that. But by preaching and teaching in a disciplined manner through the Word of God, through a book or through a section of Scripture, then you can't just jump over tricky bits. You have to come to the Lord, say, Lord, I've got no idea what this is saying. Can you help me here? And dig into it and study it. So it teaches the preacher the discipline of studying those difficult passages. While there may be a problem in every pew, too much life situation preaching or problem solving preaching is not the best kind of steady diet. Okay, because if you make it all centered around what people feel they need, then you're moving towards the market-driven church. Okay, and that's where it's interesting that churches that go the contemporary route often emphasize more topical preaching. Now, again, I'm not pushing down the appropriate use of a topical message, but I remember Robert Bax from Queensland, who's gone very contemporary, when I did this whole big study on independent Baptist churches in Australia, and an analysis between those that are supposedly growing bigger and those that aren't. The emphasis is all on numbers and, you know, and all of that sort of market mentality. But I remember him making a comment in his article that the larger churches, e.g. of course ours, he's referring to, the ones that have got it all together, they are more inclined to use a topical message than, you know, most Australian independent Baptist pastors that prefer verse by verse. So he's kind of de-emphasizing the verse by verse method, saying most Australian pastors do that in the independent Baptist churches, but the churches that are growing, you know, they will tend to, you know, deal with more of a topic. So that's concerning to me, that you're de-emphasizing the place of a faithful teaching and preaching ministry. So we don't want to turn the pulpit into a, you know, like the soapies, where you come back next week for the next episode, in a sense, that deals with, you know, how to be healthy or wealthy or whatever. Now, there's different topics we can cover from the Scriptures on various things, and there is, people do need to see a link between the message and how it affects them, certainly. But we need to be careful about giving people a balanced diet from the Word of God. All right, point C now. The disadvantages of the expository sermon. There are some potential, like with any of these types, there can be disadvantages if we don't use it properly. One, it can become dry and monotonous. Now, this is the accusation that is often levelled at expository preaching. I had one pastor say, you may not run out of material if you preach expositionally, but you may run out of listeners. Now, I would say, well, I don't know that I fully agree with that. We don't have, it comes back to, as the preacher, if you're going to preach expositorially, don't be dry. You don't have to be dry and mechanical. Now, sometimes people need a little break, and that's where sometimes a message on just a different topic altogether in the middle of a series somewhere can be helpful. People then come back the following week afresh to the series. But you'll find in the calendar of the church, there's going to be ample opportunity for those one-off messages, because you've got special days, you've got baptisms, you've got special outreach days, you've got guest speakers, you've got, maybe a family day or an event that will dictate more the theme of the message for that time. So people are going to get some breaks in between. And it's true, people can get very, you know, can get bogged down. And particularly when you're dealing with very heavy, you know, strong meat. And when we got to some of those later chapters in Romans, I sensed that you know, some people were struggling a bit. So I tried to cover a larger portion of Scripture. I think the last few messages, I almost covered a whole chapter in one message, just to just because I could sense the congregation was getting a bit bogged down. So just let's move through it a bit quicker. So you can with the Lord's help you can deal with some of those dynamics, but this is the stereotypical view, as the notes say, of expository preaching, that but it's dry and monotonous. Well, it all depends on how you approach it. Like I said before, I believe that it actually provides the strongest platform to really exhort the people, because the exhortations are so much more powerful because they're grounded and rooted in the text. As you expound the text, as you teach the text, you can then really lay out those challenges in a powerful way. So it all comes back to how you preach it. Preach it. If you're going to preach an expository message, preach it. Give some life to it, you know, by God's grace, and trust the Spirit of God to help you to bring across the challenges, and don't just approach it in a dry, mechanical way. So it comes back to how you approach it. Okay, we need to, when preaching through a book of the Bible, the preacher should always be mindful of keeping the audience interests. Right now, there's a balance there. We do want to try and keep the people's interest, but let's not allow the people to dictate. Like, we don't want to go the whole modern route of just, in a sense, allowing the congregation to dictate everything we preach, and we make all of our decisions based on that. Move along. It doesn't help to overfeed the flock. Okay, so there's a balance to be... We need to strike a balance between enough detail and enough study and not rushing through the passage, but then at the same time not maybe getting so bogged down like some of the Puritans and things used to, where they might be preaching, you know, a whole sermon on one phrase. Now, again, there might be a place for that, but the Lord will give you the balance as you go through, and you just be sensitive to the leading of the Spirit of God. B, strive not to chase rabbits and get away from the main point. C, avoid becoming overly analytical, making the sermon a lecture. Okay, so we do need to be careful there. It is important that the preacher undertake an exhaustive study for himself, but share the fruits of it with the audience. I've highlighted that point. I think that's a really good point. And this is what I've been talking to you about. You want to preach from the overflow. You yourself are going to study it in depth. You're going to study the words. You're going to read good commentaries. You're going to make copious notes. But then when it comes to your final outline, you're going to distill, hopefully, out of all that research, the central things that need to be covered, and not overwhelm the audience with a content dump. Number two, it can degenerate into a commentary-type sermon. This will happen when the preacher becomes lazy and will not put in the required amount of study. A running commentary of a passage is not expository preaching. So I mentioned that earlier. You can have a type of preaching which is just commenting on the verses as you go through. And there may be an appropriate occasion for something like that. But there's expository preaching involves more discipline. You've got to really get into the theme and understand it and study the components properly. Three, it can create a prideful spirit. In some minds, other sermon types and those who preach them are looked down as being inferior. They are indifferent but have a place. So with any preaching, we need to be careful we don't get puffed up or prideful, and that we're some sort of expert or the greatest preacher since Spurgeon. Okay? And for some, you know, I understand there can be, it can become like, if you don't preach expositionally, then, you know, that's anathema. I think there is a, particularly with the modern church that is sadly, largely ignorant of the scriptures, we do need to be careful with the topical messages. If we're only topical preachers, we're probably not going to long-term, our people are not going to be grounded properly. So I can understand some are cautious. I think in the anointed expository preaching, you may not be up to, I think I might be ahead of you in the reading, but he says that, he quotes somebody who says, if you preach a topical message, you know, then repent afterwards or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, you remember that bit? You know,
do it once every 5 years.
Once every 5 years and then immediately repent. Okay. Now he's half exaggerating. What I've noticed is that preachers that are good preachers are not bound to one type of sermon. They can preach expositionally, they can preach textually, they can preach topically if they need to. So I would encourage you men to make expositional preaching your primary focus, but there will be other occasions where you need to do a topic. You need to just take a text of scripture for a gospel message, for example, and just preach that. So learn to use all types of preaching and don't get puffed up about any of those things. Right, we might just put a pause there. We're up to page 55 and talk about chasing rabbits. I think I got a bit carried away with some things there, but it is good sometimes just to share some pastoral insights as we go through, and it makes things a little bit more practical for you, because that's partly my heart in this as well, is not just to go through all the mechanics of preaching, but just to share my heart with you on various things, because if you're going to be biblical preachers of the Word of God, you are going to cop some serious flack. It's just all there is to it. All right, because it's to preach the Word of God is to be countercultural. You're going to have a head-on collision with the direction of the world, the spirit of the world, the spirit of compromised Christianity. And you don't have to go out of your way to do that. You simply open the Bible and preach verse by verse like we're talking about, and you will run into difficulty. People will label you. And like I say, it's amazing to me that you can be preaching verse by verse, giving people a very balanced diet in the scriptures, and if their heart's not right, they can still accuse you of being a hobby horse preacher. And I've had that. I preach pretty well exclusively expositorially through books of the Bible. How could you possibly accuse someone who's doing that of just focusing on certain hobby horses? But I've been accused of that. Oh, he's only just preaching a few things and he just keeps hammering those things all the time. So, well, maybe the problem is those few things that you don't like are the issues the Spirit of God's trying to deal with you about, you know. Mm-hmm. So just be aware of that, and you've got to not focus on it too much. You know, people are going to say all sorts of things, but your job is just to get back in the pulpit and say, "Thus saith the Lord." Because at the end of the day, when you and I stand before the judgment seat of Christ, what the rebellious church member said really means nothing. Have I been faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ? Is my conscience clear that I've delivered the whole counsel of God? And what others say at the end of the day, what people say means really nothing. So long as I have the Lord's approval, that's the thing I've got to focus on. Am I pleasing to the Lord Jesus Christ? Because I'm actually to work under His direction. He's the chief shepherd, and I'm His under shepherd. So he's in charge. He's the chief shepherd. And I need to work under His direction and with His leading. And as long as the chief shepherd is pleased with what I'm doing and what I'm preaching, then let them say what they want to say. Who cares? Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this session. We pray You bless our break now and our time of study when we come back in a moment. In Jesus' name, amen.